Blessings, my dears. Hi, it's Kelly, and welcome to episode 84 of the Sun Rose Yoga Podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your practice. Today's class is a 75-minute all-levels yin yoga practice focusing on Divesa, one of the kleshas. Divesa is the attachment to past suffering. I hope you love the class. I hope this practice is meaningful for you or helpful in some way. It's really helpful for me to teach. Please get in touch. You can find out how and see photos of the asanas from this practice at sunroseyoga.com. Blessings.
It's really wonderful to be here with all of you tonight for something a little slower, a little softer. So we've been talking about the kleshas lately. There are five of them, and the kleshas are the definition I'm really liking right now are veils. They're these kind of obstacles that veil your vision of your highest self, your true self. And they're not the kind of obstacles that are dense or opaque or immobile. They're veils. So if you think about a veil like one would wear, like if you're in a wedding or some other veil, they're transparent or they're translucent. So you can see through them, but you might have to try. You might have to sort of be aware of their presence in order to see through. But all is not lost, even in the face of the veils. So to kind of review, we've talked about ignorance of your true nature. That's the first of the kleshas. We've talked about identifying with the ego, or with just our small story, our small selves. We've talked a little bit about raga, which is attachment to your desires or your preferences. And we've talked a little bit about divesa, which is attachment to things you don't like, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you really kind of get into it. And so I thought about that, I was thinking about that for today, Divesa, since we've just been through the holidays, we've just been through Thanksgiving. And if you're gathering with family or with people with whom you've known for a very long time, there are perhaps opportunities to practice working with Divesa. And I'll speak from my own experience. Just with my family, at times I'll look at a person and see something that they said to me 15 years ago that maybe wasn't their most shining moment, and maybe wasn't my most shining moment either. And Divesa that is embodied in those moments, when you think back to when someone has wronged you. And maybe originally, yeah, they did wrong you, or there was something, you know, overtly negative that happened. And that just is what it is. But devesa, this obstacle to your own happiness, is clinging to that, is remembering that, letting your thoughts go there and really like letting that thought take hold rather than moving through in a healthier way. And so in yin yoga, in our yin practice, we can work with this through the tension in our body. You might remember, if you've been here before, that I sometimes talk about being a member of the tight hip tribe, or the family of tight shoulders. So in those moments when we're working in the hips or in the neck and upper back, there's tension for me. And there's, I think, sort of a natural inclination either to bemoan your body or berate your body, or to avoid those things, to avoid those postures. And so I invite you tonight, and in your practice in general, to simply be with tension as it arises, not to cling to it, not to make that big of a deal about it. It is what it is. Just be with your breath. See if you can sort of find the middle path, not clinging to the highs or the lows. So with that, let's come to a luminous seat. Let the low body soften. Let the base of the spine release into the earth. Let the sitting bones settle. Bring your awareness to the creases of your hips and see if you could let go just a little bit more there. And from that relaxed place, begin to lengthen your spine. You might find yourself sitting back just a little bit, letting the heart lift and the collarbones spread. Feel your shoulders soften even more. Maybe tuck the chin ever so slightly so it just feels like someone is helping you lengthen the back of the neck, and feel almost a lift through the back of your skull. And all the while, soften more. Be with your breath. Notice the sensation of letting energy, life force, move in and out of your body. be with those powerful exchanges in the pauses. Now let your hands come to a shape, a gesture, a mudra that is meaningful for you. It doesn't have to be anything you've ever seen before, anything you've ever done before. There's something that means something to you. You might not even know what it is. And in this moment, let that mudra, let that shape remind you that you are so much more. You are so much more than what you like and what you don't like. You are so much more than the things you have done and the things that have happened to you. You are so much more than the stories you tell yourself and the stories other people tell you. Maybe as you breathe in, let your awareness drop into your heart center. And as you breathe out, bow to your heart, bow to this pursuit of remembering that you are so much more. And slowly release the hands and begin to lift the face and the focus. And let's come slowly to all fours, hands and knees, table pose. And maybe just shift your body, just start to move in a way that makes sense to you. Again, like your mudra, this may be nothing you've ever seen before. Maybe completely new. Just let yourself sort of move and feel your way into this shape, noticing parts of the body that maybe you don't ordinarily notice. And then maybe step your feet so that they're about hip width or just the teeniest bit closer together than hip width. And we'll start to rock the hips back toward the heels and let your forehead move toward the floor. Just in a very easy bhaktasana or devotional. And if you find that your knees or your feet are too close together for this to be sustainable, feel free to move them. And so from here, we'll start to walk the fingertips forward so that you start to get some deliciousness through the upper back. And then even with your fingertips long and your arms long, start to relax your shoulders. Let your elbows begin to draw. Start to scan your body with your thoughts, noticing where, if anywhere, you are gripping or holding. And see if you can soften into those places. If you can show yourself a little compassion and remind those parts of your body that it's okay to soften. It's okay to relax more. And over the next few breaths, start to bring yourself out of this shape. Start to maybe move back toward table. And then move your body in whatever way feels natural here. Pick whatever counter poses feel right. You might feel like extending one leg back and pressing the ball of the foot into the floor as you press out through your heel. It's very nice. This might be a place for you to really enjoy downward facing dog. This might be a place to enjoy Shavasana. So for our next shape, we'll be practicing the dragons. And for this, you might want your blanket underneath your knees. You might also want your block to support the hands. And we come into this shape. I'll just demonstrate it first, and then you can feel free to take as much time as you like to come in. Start from table, and then we'll just move the hands a little bit closer together. You might even elevate the hands up on one or two blocks in table. And we'll slowly step the right foot forward to the outside edge of your right hand. And then we lift up the left knee and just scooch it back in space, maybe just the teeniest tiny bit. And once you are here, we can kind of play around with variations on this. Take your time to come to this place. Now, once you are here, you might discover that this is your pose. You can also move your right foot out to the right a bit and then turn the toes out maybe 45 degrees. So you've got a little more room to play with in the hips. You can even flex that foot and roll to the pinky toe side of the foot, lifting up your instep. From here, you can inhale and lengthen the spine. And as you exhale, slowly begin to lower your heart toward the earth, to where you first begin to feel this in the outer hip. And then once you find that, create your structure where you feel supported for the next few breaths. Maybe you really rest your hands in your block or on the earth and let your face become heavy. Maybe you rest your elbows. Maybe the head is resting in the hands. So take your time to find where you can settle in for the next few breaths. Very nice. And then we begin that process of scanning the body, noticing what you feel, where. And then moving on. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes I get stuck. I feel that tension or the tightness in my hamstrings that must necessarily accompany doing things like riding a bike and running. It just has to be that way. When you are strong, you will also have some tightness. But for me, sometimes I get stuck in those places. I'll come to them and I'll say, oh, if only I could make myself do this pose every day, then maybe I wouldn't feel this way. Or whatever other version of that, whatever other story I happen to be telling myself at that particular moment. And it's also important to remember that those stories are perfectly natural and perfectly normal. And just becoming aware that you're telling them to yourself is this sort of magical spark of recognition, a big part of this practice in consciousness, elevating. And once you have scanned your body, let your awareness shift to your breath. Noticing the path of your breath. Noticing the path and whether you feel ease or tension at certain parts of the breath, certain spots. Letting yourself be compassionate in those moments as well. And as we stay in postures a little bit longer, you might start to notice a certain part of your body sort of feeling more, not necessarily alive, but where you really feel your energy collecting. And it's a wonderful thing to go to those places and be there completely. will slowly start to move from this shape. Taking your time, moving in a way that supports you, where you've been and where you're going. And then move in a way that feels natural. Let your body have the opposite experience that it is searching for. Yin is hard. This is hard work because I ask you to do things like trust yourself in this class and listen to your body. And that is hard, particularly when we're used to being told how to be, how to act, how to move. In much of our day. And there are a lot of messages out there telling you not to trust yourself. And I know how hard it is when you have that opportunity to trust, to listen, and to act from that place. And it can be scary. Let's move to the second side, first by coming to table. And you might set up your props. Perhaps you've learned something on side one that will help you on side two. And just bring your hands a little bit closer together than a regular table so that it's a little easier to step your left foot forward to the outside edge of your left hand. And then maybe to tuck the right toes under and move the knee back just a touch. And then untuck the toes and let your feet soften. And you might start just by really inhaling and lengthening the spine and noticing what you feel. And you might let your exhalations draw your heart in the direction of earth, pausing where you first begin to feel that tension. I feel it in my upper hamstring, sort of the outer hip. You might feel it somewhere else. And when you find that place where you encounter your edge, pause there and create the structure using your bones, using your props, where you can sort of settle in and be with your body and be with your breath and be with your thoughts for the next few minutes. And we start with that scanning of the body, that noticing what you feel, where you feel it. And you move into your breath. And the more I think about raga and devesa, or the attachment to our likes and our dislikes, the more I think that this is really our struggle with impermanence. and how, gosh, when we're flying high, we never want it to end. But impermanence is sort of something that we can get on board with a little bit easier when we're talking about the things we don't like. And in a sense, that kind of comes back to being sort of attached to the things we like to begin with. Better to remember that all things change, that between the highest highs and the lowest lows, we have that middle path of being content. And even beyond contentment, that middle path of accepting what is and moving skillfully from there. Notice where, if anywhere, you are holding or gripping, and try to relax more. Try to soften more. And over the course of the next few moments, the next few breaths, start to conclude your time in this shape. Move out slowly. Move at a pace that honors where you've been. And then move in whatever way feels natural. And so for our next shape, we'll move towards Anahatasana. You may want some support under your knees. You may not need it. We'll start again from table. And to find our way here, just keep in mind that the hips will stay pretty much right over top of the knees as you walk. The hands forward. You need to rest maybe on your elbows or your forearms and let your forehead come to rest on the floor. Now, if this is too intense on the upper back, feel free to let those hips shift back a little bit so that you're a little bit maybe closer to Bhaktasana. But otherwise, keep the hips right up over top of the knees. And really let yourself have that time in the first few breaths to soften and to sink into this shape. You might feel restricted, constricted through the tops of your shoulders, through the back of your neck as you begin. And that's completely normal, particularly if you spend time in front of a computer or if you drive a car or if you use a little mobile telephone device. You might find yourself really feeling this and yes, I acknowledge that. You might start to feel your heart softening toward the earth. And in turn, sort of feeling a softening through the back of your heart. Let yourself just luxuriate in the movement that comes from being breathed. And notice how your breath moves you in this shape. And over the course of the next few breaths, can you spread your fingertips wide if they aren't already, and start to walk your hands back toward your knees, back to that position where they are right underneath your shoulders. And then move your body in whatever way feels natural. For our next shape, we will work with our bolster. And I thought that this evening we could come into supported fish. So one version of this would be to place the bolster right underneath your heart. So the top edge is sort of right at the bottom of your armpits. Let the head release down and open the arms wide. From here, so if this brings up any twinging in your low back, bend the knees and bring the soles of the feet to the floor. You can also experiment with bringing the soles of the feet together and letting the knees splay out. If, on the other hand, this feels too intense, like too high and too far for the neck to go back, feel free to place your blanket behind your head so that the angle isn't quite so severe. If that still feels like too much for your heart, do a switcheroo where you would roll your blanket instead of using your bolster and place that underneath your heart. Good, and as with the last posture, give yourself that first minute or so to really let your body become accustomed to the shape in general. Takes us a few breaths for our body to really even start to settle down in a pose. Particularly the poses where we are working in opposition to how we sort of move throughout our day. And then as you're settling into the shape, scan your body. Notice what you feel. in each and every part of your body. Notice where, if anywhere, you are holding or gripping. And let go just a little bit more. And you might start to bring your awareness right into the center of your heart. And if it works for you, you might imagine a healing white or blue light moving right into the center of your heart. Letting that spread throughout your body. And for the next few of your exhalations, you might imagine or visualize tension leaving your body. You might see it in a really obvious way, like tension leaving through your hands in the form of soot or smoke or mud. You might just watch all of your tension leave you in that way. And once you feel like tension has left you, maybe just flick your fingers a few times so that you have this sort of separation between you and your tension. And from here, we'll experiment with going into our banana pose with the heart supported as it is right now. And if this doesn't work, feel free to at any time move your bolster out from under you. But We'll begin by extending the arms up overhead. So you just like make your body just as long as possible. And then maybe hold one of your wrists with your hands, or maybe hold opposite elbows with your hands. And then we'll start to curve the body toward the right. So you'll start to move your feet to the right, and you'll start to move your upper body to the right, keeping your hips stationary. So you literally look like a banana from overhead. And once you're sort of used to the shape itself, start to feel the heads of your arms, the tops of your shoulders softening, releasing. And so we'll slowly start to come back to center, taking your time. And you might just move your body a little bit from left to right before starting your journey to the left side. So we just anchor the hips, and we curve the body to the left. The feet move left, the upper body moves left, and you have this wonderful sort of contraction, softening of the left side of your body, and a wonderful lengthening of the right side of the body. And begin that process of softening, of releasing. Of noticing. Then we'll start to move out of this shape slowly, taking your time. Maybe move that bolster out from underneath you in a way that doesn't disturb you too much. Coming all the way down to the floor. Maybe drawing your knees toward your chest and just rocking a little bit from side to side, giving some grounding to the low and the mid-back. And then making whatever other movements or changes to your body or to your environment, it will feel right. And softening, sinking into your final pose of rest. Coming to your final resting place. Coming to a place of no effort. A place of no muscle. And start to bring your awareness back into your body. Notice where you and the earth make contact. Let your breaths begin to deepen. And notice how deepening your breath moves you. Let that movement start to spread. Let it spread in a way that feels natural and in a way that really honors your body. Really honors where you are and where you've been. Maybe you again make your body just as long as possible. And then hug your knees toward your chest. And rock from side to side. And let that rocking carry you to your favorite side. And let yourself be filled with whatever you happen to be feeling right now. Let that rise right up to the surface. And if it feels okay to do so, send what you are feeling to all beings everywhere. And then as you are ready, take your time to come back to your seat. Let your hands make their way to a gesture that feels meaningful to you. It can be different from the one you practiced at the beginning of class. It can also be the same. Let your mudra remind you. That at your essence, you are love. Let your love, your essence, just beam from you. I thought we could close by chanting Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu three times. And this in Sanskrit means may all beings everywhere be happy and be at peace. We'll take a full cycle of breath together before we begin. Don't worry at all if you think wrong words are coming out of your mouth. It doesn't matter. What matters is what is coming out of your heart. So we'll take a deep breath in and out and in. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino. Thank you all for sharing your practice with us, with this room, with the world, and with yourself. You are love. Namaste. Thanks, everybody. Please ask if you have any questions or tell me if there's anything I need to know.